America is at war. Globalists and leftists have taken over the highest levels of our state and federal government, our state houses, Congress, Supreme Court, and even the highest office of the land. They are indoctrinating our children, corrupting our morals, dividing our people, and attempting to eradicate God. But the weapon they cannot withstand is a people united under God and armed with the truth. Now join Pastor Steve Taylor, Director of Christian Rights Ministries and President of the Alliance Legal Group, for another episode of the Faith and Freedom Network.
Good morning, Hampton Roads. This actually afternoon is 12:31 in beautiful downtown Great Bridge, Chesapeake, Virginia. Good afternoon, Colleen.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to the Word and Pray. Listening to the Lighthouse on WPMH. Forgot where I was for just a second. And we're glad to have you here on the Faith and Freedom Show. If you'd like to call in, you can always do that at 488-5299. It's 488-5299. And we always talk about a lot of different topics throughout what's happening culturally in our country, in our world, as well as how that relates to things as Christians that we should be aware of and know about. So glad to have you here.
And it's great to be here, Colleen. It's great to have each person here. If you want to get a hold of us at debtfreeva.com, we have a little chat box there that you can chat right into our Alliance Legal Group website, and that you can set an appointment. You can talk about anything you want to talk about. That we do a lot of bankruptcies in Hampton Roads, probably one of the number one filers on the south side. And but we can file all the way anywhere in Virginia. That the if you've got a bankruptcy, you're listening to this bankruptcy issue, and you need to file a bankruptcy, you give me a call. And if we don't help you, I can certainly provide somebody. But I'm on the Eastern and Western District of Virginia, which incorporates the entire state of Virginia. We do most of our cases between Richmond down to Newport News, down especially in the Hampton Roads area. But we would love to help you. That we would love to get you financially free, give you financial freedom. Bankruptcy is a biblical solution to a financial problem, and it's something that that you should look into if you haven't looked into it yet. At least give yourself an option. Do it on a free consultation basis with one of our attorneys. That we'd love to just share with you the possibilities of getting financial freedom, whether it be through bankruptcy or through debt counseling or some sort of debt management tool that we've done. We've helped literally thousands of individuals, probably 20 to 30,000. I haven't counted, but there are lots. I mean, we try to count, but that it's, I mean, we've been doing this since 1995, and we do a lot of bankruptcies every year. And that we do a lot of debt counseling. We do a lot of everything, too, that we do a general practice that helps families out. If you need an attorney, we have four offices in Hampton Roads, one in Newtown, one in Virginia Beach, Norfolk area, the Newtown Road area, between the interstate of and Virginia Beach Boulevard. We have an office here in Great Bridge. That's where this broadcast is coming from today. We have one of my favorite locations in Suffolk, Virginia, on Main Street. We have our church, Trinity Christian Church of Suffolk, where I pastor, and Pastor Don pastors. He's the co-director co-pastor of Christian Rights Ministries, and also the chaplain here he's the co-pastor at Trinity Christian Church of Suffolk, and the chaplain of Christian Rights Ministries. And if you ever have an issue that you'd like to pray about, we'd love to talk to you about. If you want to talk about Jesus, that we'd love to talk about Jesus. He's been so good to me. Has he been good to you, Colleen?
Oh, for sure, definitely. That's true. Every day.
Amen. And if he's been good to you out there, just say praise you, Jesus, and be saved from your enemies. That's what the Bible says. So today we're going to be talking about a lot of things. Again, one of the things that we're going to be talking about, as we have been talking about for a while now, is, of course, the vaccine mandates and all the things going on relating to the restriction of our freedoms and the taking away of our constitutional rights. And so we're going to be talking about that. But one thing I wanted to talk about real quick, because it sort of got my attention yesterday, is the Evergrande, I believe it's called, Evergrande issue with the Chinese, the Chinese folks that are, Evergrande is the name of the company that may be getting ready to default on its obligations. Have you heard about that?
No,
Colleen?
That is something I have not heard about. You know, I read.
You haven't heard about Evergrande?
No. Well, see, you need to prep me.
Yeah, I heard about it yesterday as my cryptocurrency went tumbling down. And I said, what in the world is going on with my cryptocurrency? And, of course, the stock market view, if you're in the stock market, you saw about a 617-point drop yesterday. And so let me just give you the quick thumbnail. Again, I'm not a financial advisor. You're going to have to make your own decisions, your own good and bad decisions. But I will tell you this, that we'll provide you a little bit of information so you can help do that. That I think that a lot of the economists in the nation believe that between now and Christmas that there could be a lot of really severe economic problems based upon a lot of different issues. We'll go over a couple of those in just a second. But that yesterday and starting last Friday, we saw some real tremors in the financial markets because of this company called Evergrande, which is a Chinese company that basically does a lot of real estate development, and they're overburdened with debt, and that they may not be able to, they may default on their debts. And there's the second largest real estate holding company or developing company in China. And so so a lot of people are looking at that the defaulting of Evergrande. And I'm just going to go very quickly through it because it is certainly relevant. But it's not the only reason the stock market has headed for its worst day yesterday and since May. It went down 617 points. Very quickly, the Evergrande, see if I can get you a quick little story on Evergrande. The Evergrande is a, it's a problem, but, you know, looking at several different economists and their predictions that they're saying that the emerging Evergrande crisis could really affect China, but they're saying that it's not completely certain that it could be another, Shearson Lehman debacle like we had in the 2008-2009, where you saw the it was actually 13 years to the day, to the week that happened, and we saw the stock markets crash, and you know, this giant real estate developer in China who is deep in debt, dire straits, and the Chinese government refusing right now to bail them out. Everybody thinks they're going to get bailed out by the Chinese government. They're too big to fail type of company. And so that they've got like $100 billion of debt, but it's mostly held in China. What made Lehman and the other big banks fail was they had so many ties to other institutions, but China apparently has them more located in China, thank goodness, and hopefully they'll take a pretty bad beating. That's what they deserve for springing loose that Wuhan flu. Market Watch I'm looking at right now, so one of the websites that I look at, it says that this is not another Lehman moment for the U.S. Somebody at Wells Fargo said that seems to think he knows everything about finances. And so the more plausible scenario, they say, is that the Evergrande collapse deflates the Chinese real estate market and slows the country's economy. And that it might be a factor, and it may be something to certainly take a look at. And that the biggest risk to the U.S. would be a decline in the $120 billion worth of exports that we do. You know, they're the manufacturing hub now that Trump left and Biden's taken over. So, you know, they might not buy as much of our goods anymore, or we might not buy as much as their goods anymore because they're having some issues. But what the seven factors, very quickly, we'll jump into vaccines and stuff like that, that they say that you should be looking for is, let me see if I can find that for you. Here's the seven factors you should be concerned about. And this is related to the our mission as far as a faith and freedom, because, you know, the bottom line is that that from a being aware of what's going on in your economy is something that that we need to be aware of, that, you know, we expect at some point in time a collapse of the U.S. economy. We expect things to get worse, that they tend to do that, and that we should be aware, because we need to be in that position to be able to help other folks and to be prepared ourselves. And so that the seven factors, I'm just going to bulletproof point these things out for you, so you should be concerned about, is one, of course, the Delta woes, this quote unquote Delta variant, which they can't seem to even get a real test to test it on. It's caused a lot of problems, and of course, that's because the multinational globalist elites, the stakeholders, if you want to call them anything, like Bill Gates and Melinda Gates and Schwab, Klaus Schwab calls them, are causing the Delta variants, the stakeholders, to cause this massive shutdown in all economies, but in the world's largest economy, the United States. That along with the vaccines that are absolutely mandates that are causing, lots and lots of folks to quit their jobs because they're not going to be pushed into getting a vaccine. And so that the along with just a lot of, and you know, that we got a lot of deaths going on, but I'm not sure how many that the vaccines causing versus the this quote unquote COVID thing is. And so the bottom line is that there's the deltas causing problems, that the Fed taper talk, so the markets are fixed, fixated at the rate setting Federal Open Market Committee September 21 and 22nd meeting. That's today and tomorrow, where Fed officials face the prospect of winding down, some of this propped up markets that they've been doing. The Fed has been buying $80 billion in treasuries and $40 billion in mortgage-backed securities. They've been creating cash flow, and that they might be cutting that down. And of course, when they cut that down, they're worried that the economy might fall. So so that this tapering off, you'll hear this tapering off. It doesn't mean that there's, it's a QE like 4, I think it is now. They're pumping money in, but they're not going to be pumping quite as much money in, which still means that basically that we're in a terrible situation. They're spending way too much money and we're out of control. Debt ceiling, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen told Congress to either raise the debt ceiling or widespread economic catastrophe was certain for the U.S. And so, that this is a yearly sort of thing where they say you got to raise the debt ceiling so I can spend some more money so they can do $3.5 trillion worth of spending that mostly we don't need. But that's, of course, taking an effect on the economy. And that the Federal Reserve's easy money punch bowl might be taken away at the worst time. You know, that the end of the year is sometime not the best time to do that, apparently, according to the people in the know in the economy. And some people say this is like number 4 or 5 on the list, that a correction is due, that, you know, people have been doing the FOMO, forward momentum on the stock market, on the crypto market, and everything needs to take a bump down. And so that adds to concerns. And of course, everybody's concerned about inflation. Everybody's concerned about inflation, that's something that we've seen recently, that the cost of living for Americans rose in August, actually I'm going to read this. Data recently showed that the cost of living for Americans rose in August at the slowest pace in 7 months, which is good, and signaled the surge in inflation this year may have peaked, but Americans probably aren't going to get much relief from that right now. And so that a new survey by the Federal Reserve shows consumers expect inflation to go to over 5% in the next 12 months. With all that being said, there's a lot of concerns in the economy, and it's not all related to Evergrande, even though you need to keep your eyes on Evergrande. One thing that you need to prepare for is that as the end of the year comes, that starting in October, that if the Fed doesn't intervene, that foreclosures are back on the table. We saw that the evictions are back on the table as of last month, there's lots of things going on, that the free money that they were giving as far as federal money in addition to state money for unemployment, that's ended at the beginning of this month. So there's a slight tightening of the belt, so people are feeling a little bit, feeling the pinch a little bit, and so that, we're going to see what's going to happen. So with all that said, you hadn't heard about the Evergrande
no,
tobacco ready to happen?
I try to keep up on a lot of things, but some of that goes a little over my head, or it's, you know, or I just never even saw that term or that company name before. So it's good for us to be aware of that. I did like how you were, you know, bringing it back to what people are living with now is the inflation. We've seen that, you know, you can go a little bit and then all of a sudden, wow, all of a sudden the meal that I bought at, you know, fast food restaurant X or whatever is now costing me $2 or $3 more because they've raised their prices. A gallon of gas is so much more, or, you know, I'm going to buy milk and bread and it's so much more. So, you know, it's been in there and it just will continue to increase, and people's salaries and things are not increasing on that level. So it's, interesting to see how that will affect us all personally in the wallet for sure.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, one thing that I've noticed is that that a lot of people, especially if you've taken the vaccine, are reluctant to really discuss some of the news about the vaccine because it's not a very pleasant topic, you know. So that what we are seeing is a real, I don't know what to say, that the there's a lot of news out there about the efficacy of, I guess that's how you say it,
efficacy or effectiveness of it.
How good the vaccine is versus
the percentage that it fights the virus.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem to do a really good job. And so that the and it seems to be something that a lot of people are concerned about. And you know, so there seems to be a lot of debate about whether or not you should take that jab. And, you know, ultimately, you shouldn't need a religious exemption to be able to avoid this mandate. It should be a mandate, but you shouldn't need a religious exemption to determine what you're going to put in your body. You know, there's a lot of folks that say, listen, that it's not even a religious reason that I'm opposing these things. It's because I don't want that poison in my body. You know, that there's a 99.7% better chance that I'm going to live through this than something that is experimental, that has a lot of bad press, and that the worst case scenario, that if they would give me the ivermectin, that I'd be fine. Why am I going to put something that's untested, that's experimental, and could cause a problem in me where I don't run the risk? So, you know, there's a lot of people that just say, listen, I don't want to take that thing. You know, that based on the medical evidence, that I'll take my risk with the virus and get a broad-based immunity based on that.
Steve, we have Tony on the line when you're ready to take a caller.
Terrific. And you would think that'd be enough, that you should control your body. You know, that that's a very sacred place. But, that doesn't seem to be what the government wants us to do. And so the reason that we're talking so much about vaccines and vaccine mandates and exemptions is because it doesn't get much more personal than that on an individual sense than the inviolability of your body. Once the government can tell you what it's going to put in your body, there's not much else. There's not much room left to go. And so that's why it's such a big deal from a faith and freedom basis. You know, Ben Franklin said, you know, when tyranny becomes law, resistance becomes duty. And so there should be a pushback when the government goes too far, and they've gone too far. Tony, you're on the air. How are you doing today? Tony, you there?
I'm here.
How are you doing, Tony, from Phoenix, Arizona? Actually, from Prescott, Arizona today.
I'm doing well. There's a lot going on, it seems like, in the world right now.
So tell us a little bit about some of the things you got going on. Talk to me about vaccine mandates. Do you have anything either on vaccine mandates or the efficacy of the jabs?
Well, I believe you're looking for the efficacy. I can't say the word either, so don't feel bad. you look around the world, what's happening. India just has 3 provinces that's been reported that they've completely eradicated COVID in their 3 provinces with ivermectin. They stopped doing the injection. They started using so it worked well there. They're doing a blind study with ivermectin and the regular treatment we use, and it's showing that 90% of the cases with ivermectin hydroxychloroquine recover, where more cases on our treatment seems to go into ventilation and death. You've got multiple countries around the world using ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. So under the Nuremberg Act, you would think the efficacy should be, if there's an alternate process that I can use, why can't I use it? If it's shown to work, I mean, Fauci himself in 2019 wrote a paper saying that hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin work very well against COVID, but they don't recommend it. That was his response. So we've got.
Yeah, I read those articles. The one from India, that's a the largest state. I mean, they have states as big as as big as our entire population in India. 250 million people. And that they have declared COVID-19 eradicated. Not just COVID-19, the Delta, everything about it, because they've been using ivermectin. And that you know, the horse dewormer. Give me some of that horse dewormer. That's when you hear the word horse dewormer, that's the FDA and the CDC. And you're going to hear a lot about this on this program, the stakeholders, those folks that Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, mm-hmm. and those people at the WEF, the World Economic Forum, have sat at the table that want to destabilize this world and have you not be able to eradicate their planned plandemic that is supposed to level the sovereign nations of the world. This ivermectin, I mean, the entire 250 million people, the entire disease is gone. And like you said, that there was that one study where they gave a placebo and the vaccine, and that 20 people died on the vaccine and 17 people died on the placebo. More people died from the vaccine than from the placebo.
Yeah,
you know, it's not a real good vaccine, and in fact, you know that the it causes a lot of problems. You know, the myocarditis, it damages the blood cells and the blood. You know, that it's if anybody's listen, if you need to read up on this, go to a site called Censored News, censored.news, censored.news. There you'll find a lot .com. You'll find a lot of articles. You'll find the Epic Times. You'll find various websites that basically give you a lot of news that you're just not going to get anywhere else. Some of the stuff is a little bit radical, and so you need to read through it. But that, for the most part, you're going to find news there that you're not going to be permitted to watch or see elsewhere. And I know that you go to that website, Tony.
Yes, I do. The one thing people have to realize is the government and the stakeholders are very good about making things look bad. Ivermectin won a Nobel Prize for saving lives. It's been around for 40 years. It won a Nobel Prize. It's been the go-to drug for many major viral infections around the world and bacterial infections around the world and been successful. So now suddenly it's a dewormer, but it's been a Nobel Prize winning product before that. And the norm seems to be, before COVID, all these doctors were the go-to guys. That's the one thing we're missing here. They were all the go-to. Dr. Luc Mugnemer, he was the go-to guy. He found AIDS. Now suddenly, because they're saying, you guys aren't following the science, you aren't following actual research, you're just making stuff up as you go, now suddenly they're being discredited. But prior to this, they were the respected individuals of the world.
Absolutely. You know, and, you know, when you go to that censor.news sites, there's a whole bunch of different sites. One of the sites, it's called Humans Are Free. It's excellent. It's got a lot of very interesting articles there. The one they did from the end of last week was that, the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, you'll hear it, the VAERS system, it's exploding with people with vaccine injuries at a rate never seen before. You know, that if you say to somebody, well, listen, you know, there was this one lawsuit filed, I think it was in Alabama about a month ago, about 14,000 people died, according to VAERS, they'll say, well, you know, nobody's really proved that was the vaccine that did it. Well, this is what VAERS will tell you, is that the year before and the year before that, they had two and they had three and they had four. You know, they had, you know, less than, you know, in the single digit numbers. Now they're having 70 people die from COVID vaccines reported every day. That's insane.
And they're refusing to,
Why would you put that stuff in your body? And listen, if you have already put it in your body, just don't put any more. I mean, the don't support the medical tyranny that is being pushed upon this country. It doesn't make sense medically. It doesn't make sense spiritually. It doesn't make sense. You know, it's a. I'm telling you that there's been almost 15,000 reported deaths as a result of the COVID vaccines in the U.S., and the vast majority of these fatalities are occurring within a week after vaccination. And that is unheard of with a vaccination program.
Yep.
So, Tony, I've got about four more minutes. Tell me anything else that you got before we let you go.
Well, the one thing you're not seeing happening either, you're not hearing the word autopsy in any of this. They're not doing autopsies on people on purpose. They're not telling you what killed them. They're saying, we believe this killed them. But they're not finding out.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. And then, you know, historically, vaccines are removed from the market and stripped of the licensure when there's just a handful of deaths. And there's so many deaths from this vaccine. Almost every hospital in the U.S. can represent one dead patient who was sacrificed for the greater good. You know, you heard a lot about this is the greater good. We're all in this. We're not all in this. We don't want to be like this. You know, the heaviest vaccinated nations like Israel are having the heaviest infection rate from, you know, this vaccine isn't protective. And that the mainstream media refuses to pick up on these stories, lies about the side effects, normalizing week-long illnesses. You know, it was crazy that people said, you know, when you got the vaccine, you get sick and you feel terrible. They said, that's how you know it's working. Well, that's crazy. You know, Bell palsy, blood clots, headaches, severe pain, heart inflammation in children. And now they're requiring it in kids when kids are almost completely asymptomatic. And so, you know, that they're saying the post-vaccination COVID is mild and is proof that the vaccine is working. Mild isn't 70 people dying within a week as they are intubated and then sent to a morgue. That's not mild. So, you know, it's just crazy. And how they get away with it is the only way I can tell you is that they've got the stakeholders, the ones that are at the table with Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and the World Economic Forum, you know, just misrepresenting, lying about the medical issues that are being reported on these vaccinated test subjects with this experimental vaccine that the nurses and the doctors don't want to take it either. That's why they're quitting. Mm-hmm. I mean, just take a look at the nurses and the doctors. Why are they quitting? Because they don't want to be told to take the vaccine. They know better.
Exactly. And that's also the other thing. The hospitals aren't slammed or overrun. They're short of staff.
Mm-hmm. You know, the VAERS doesn't even include all the other adverse events that are misdiagnosed as something else, not reported, normalized, ignored. You know, that the patients and doctors connect their vaccine injuries back to the vaccines because they're, you know, they don't do that because they don't want to. These numbers are a small portion of what actually is going on. So with all that being said, we're down to 1 minute, Tony. God bless you. I appreciate you coming on. Colleen, do you have anything else before we get ready to close?
No, I think that's good that we have to keep informed on things and let people know. And obviously, we'd love to hear from more of our listeners. If you have a topic or you'd like to chime in at any time, you can certainly do that at 488-5299. We're here on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You can also reach out to Steve. Steve is the sponsor through Alliance Legal Group and Christian Rights Ministries for this program. And so please reach out to them and at debtfreeva.com. It's debtfreeva.com to let them know if you have a question about bankruptcy, if you have a question regarding vaccine mandates or anything like that, just reach out to them there. And if you have a comment or question about the show, we'd sure appreciate hearing from you.
And just like we started, that we'll finish, you know, Benjamin Franklin said, when tyranny becomes law, resistance become duty. Go to hashtag do not comply. Don't be forced into doing something that your conscience tells you not to do. Resist and be free. God bless you. And hopefully that we'll see you, I guess, next Thursday at 12:30. God bless. Bye-bye.
Been listening to the Faith and Freedom Network, sponsored by Steve Taylor and the Alliance Legal Group, Hampton Roads' hometown attorney for more than 30 years. For more information, you can contact them at debtfreeva.com. That's debtfreeva.com. And tune in every Tuesday and Thursday right here on the Lighthouse for Faith and Freedom Network.